This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Happy Wednesday. Welcome to the Annie Fry Show. Thanks for being with us this afternoon. There's a lot happening in the political world today, and we're grateful that you are here along, maybe on your lunchtime, with us to dig into it. Earlier today, Donald Trump was on with Harris Faulkner, and they're in Georgia. And Harris Faulkner had, it was a beautiful room. If you haven't seen the setup that this took place in, I don't know how this is imperative for you, but it's pretty. It was really pretty. It made me feel like fall in the South and Georgia and all that stuff. Listening to Donald Trump sit with Harris Faulkner, answer questions of an all-female audience, interesting stuff there. And then tonight, this evening, we are going to hear Bret Baier interview Kamala Harris. Now, that interview is going to take place like an hour before. I think they said 5:30 is when it was scheduled, but that's Eastern time. So during the Mark Reardon Show, off air, Bret Baier is going to be interviewing Kamala Harris. And then Fox News is going to air the unedited, straight through 30-minute or so conversation with Kamala Harris. And I'm very excited to tell you that 97.1 is going to air that on the Mark Reardon Show as well. So you're going to want to keep it right here because you're going to be able to hear Bret Baier sit down with Kamala Harris and have that interview that a lot of people are thinking could be somewhat pivotal in this election. Here's the thing that I want to say about the Bret Baier interview, because I hear a lot of people there's not a lot of people like actively aggressively going out and being like Bret Baier's the greatest, because people don't do that. People just go out and say Bret Baier sucks, because people are prone to complain out loud as opposed to flatter out loud. And I really want people to sit back and wait and listen to how this interview goes. Bret Baier was talking about how the interview would be conducted and was pitched.
I think tough but fair is what I pitched it as, and I think that's what they're going to see. If you can think of the issues that people care about, that they ask pollsters or they answer to pollsters what they care about, those questions are going to be in the mix. And, you know, some things that perhaps haven't been asked in other interviews, there's time. You know, 30 minutes is enough time to press and follow up, and I think we'll go down a number of different roads.
Well, I like that Bret Baier was saying that. Do you know who he was talking to? I don't have that on the...
I don't.
So Bret Baier is trying to explain the contents of how this was pitched to the Harris campaign so that you can understand the pretense with which they accepted the request for the interview. I essentially interview people for a living. That is what I do. So I know what it's like to interview people. I have not interviewed a presidential candidate. Is that true? I wonder if I've ever interviewed a presidential candidate. Rick Santorum, did he run in 2016?
Ooh, I don't know.
Yeah, I think he did. He was in the 2016 field. I've interviewed people who ran for president. I don't know if I've ever interviewed somebody who was currently in an active primary. Certainly never. I've never been able to have the opportunity to interview somebody who was the candidate or the party's nominee. It's a very high stakes situation. That is very much so. There's a lot of pressure in that. But Bret Baier can't get swallowed up by pressure. That's his job. It's something that when you know how to do your job, you know this no matter what you're doing. If you're in accounting, accounting would be incredibly intimidating to somebody who came in and you're like, here are the books. You'd be like, "What? I've got nothing. I don't know what to do with these numbers." It's incredibly intimidating. But if you know it, you're confident in it. And I'm confident that Bret Baier knows what it takes to have and conduct this very high stakes interview. However, he says 30 minutes there. He says, you know, there's some time there to press on the issues. That's the question that I have today for Bret Baier. How do you address and approach your conversation with Kamala Harris? Because what America is not looking for at this point, it's too late for Kamala Harris at this point to be offering brand new conceptual layouts of this is how I'm going to secure the border. Like, she has had the opportunity to do that, and she's taken the pitch every single time that she's been asked these questions to go deep into the issues. She says her talking points. She rephrases her talking points. She says everything that she wants you to hear in triplicate. She'll say, like, dreams, hopes, and aspirations. Fears, worries, and concerns. So she says that. It fills time. 30 minutes. It doesn't take a long time when you speak in that manner to fill up 30 minutes and to say virtually nothing. So she's trying over and over and over again, and in my opinion, very successfully, to never have to say anything that can pin her down. To never have to put anything out there for you to consume that makes you go, whoa, that's the red line. I'm a single issue voter on this. You're not interested in securing the border? I'm out. You're interested in letting, moms and doctors kill babies even after the womb? I'm out on that. She doesn't want to say any of that stuff. She's got to say things that, like, hint. You ever had, what's a good example of this? Let's say like a cookie. Have you ever had a cookie and maybe the sugar was wrong when it was measured out. So you buy, this is like what vegan food tastes like to me. This is a side issue. But have you ever bitten into a cookie? Cookie looks great. It looks absolutely delicious. And you go into bite into the cookie and it's like not sweet. Or there's something that's missing. It looks right. It feels right. And then when you get into the substance of it, you're like, something is off here. Kamala Harris is like a vegan cookie. It's kind of a lie. It is a vegan form of substance, but it is not a cookie, not one in the way that you are going to consume. Just here it is. Take it or leave it. You take it because it looks great. And it's just completely a letdown because it doesn't taste the way you expect it to. You don't understand. You're consuming this thing and everything seems right. But then when you get into it, it's clearly not what you expected. Bret Baier has the opportunity in this interview today to go quality over quantity. If you get 30 minutes with a guest that you get to interview, if you get 30 minutes with a candidate for president of the United States, you're going to want to talk about a whole host of things. You're going to want to touch on the things that she's been asked on all of these interviews. But Bret Baier is going to want to have his thumbprint on it. Bret Baier is going to want to have his time to ask those questions. And that's where, for an interviewer, the opportunity for your own ego to overcome the conversation so that you can get credit for talking about the border, for talking about education, for talking about healthcare, for talking about taxes, for talking about housing, for talking about Israel and Gaza and all of these things. You want credit for talking about all of it. But the truth is you could talk about all of it and get nothing out of it. What Bret Baier needs to do in this interview right now is ask a single question. Pick his favorite issue that he thinks the American people want to hear about the most. It's probably groceries and gas. It's probably your ability, while you're working your tail off in middle America right now, to afford the living that you could afford 4 or 5 years ago. Take one subject, have two waiting in the wing, and then show America whether or not Kamala Harris has the ability to make any sense about any topic whatsoever. We need to know that Kamala Harris knows for her own benefit that she has a full grasp on actual real solutions. It's more about knowing if she has the process, the mental capacity to solve the issues that are at hand. I believe she has the mental capacity to memorize lines, to regurgitate them, and to stall through an interview. She has the ability to get from point A to point B without saying anything of substance, without having to react in any capacity as a normal human being in conversation. I don't need to know from Bret Baier how she's going to solve the Israel situation, how she's going to solve the Ukraine situation, how she's going to solve the southern border, how she's going to solve grocery prices, how she's going to solve gas prices, what she's going to do with energy, what she's going to do with education and the fact that our kids aren't learning because we have our priorities completely out of order in our public education system. I don't need to know what she's going to do with housing. I don't need to know what she's going to do with taxes or with tax rebates or with child tax credits or the cost of child care. I don't need to know the details and all of this in 30 minutes because it is impossible to do that. I want to know that she has the cognitive ability to have a human-to-human conversation, one that might take place between her and another foreign leader when a new conflict arises. Is she wise? Is she capable of listening to hear, not listening to wait for her turn to speak because she's got a line to say? Who's giving her the line? Whose presupposition is being inserted into these conversations that we aren't electing? Can Kamala Harris think on her feet? Can she actually listen to the person across the table? Is she capable of doing that? I don't think she is. And what I feel like Bret Baier has the opportunity to do today, and I'm not so sure that he will, is to be willing to go deep into one issue, to push back on every single canned response that she gives, even if we only get through one subject, maybe two, in this interview. Well, Brett, why didn't you ask about foreign policy? Brett, why didn't you ask about the Electoral College and Tim Walz saying he wants it to be tossed out and Kamala Harris saying, you know, which one is it? Which side are you on? Don't look at your key subject in this interview and throw the baby out with the bathwater if your key issue didn't get addressed. If Bret Baier decides to expose Kamala for the kind of actual thinker that she is uniquely herself. None of these interviews, save maybe the 60 Minutes one, kind of, which then they went back and edited. None of these interviews have put Kamala Harris in a place where she has to think on her feet and where they have been willing to expose the fact that she cannot think on her feet. That's what we want to hear. Can she handle it? There's two things. When you're electing a world leader, when you're electing a representative to serve in the highest governmental office in our land, you need to know two things. What do they believe and how do they get things done? We don't 100% know what she believes, but we have no clue how she is going to get anything done. And if she has the capacity to do it. Donald Trump, you have an idea of where he is. We've seen it before. His resume, we've lived his resume. We were there. We know what Donald Trump is capable of doing. But you know that whatever the policy is, he's going to find out a way to get it done. He doesn't have to sell that to you. He doesn't have to convince you that he has the capacity to look straight into the eyes of the most powerful enemies of the United States. Look them in the eyes and get stuff done. We know he can do it. Now, you may know that he can do it and at the same time not love what he's trying to do. That's a different story. But with Kamala Harris, we don't know what she wants to do because she won't tell us. And I have no confidence that she has the ability to get any of it done. And if she doesn't have the ability to get any of it done, who's doing the work? That's what I want to know. And I really hope that Bret Baier today goes deep into quality and forgets about quantity. Expose the candidate for who she is. Maybe she's fantastic and she's been held back by her team, who has not put her in a position to be able to have these conversations where she thinks on her feet. Maybe Kamala Harris is much more capable than any of us ever actually knew, and she hasn't had the opportunity to show it. Give her the opportunity to show it. Maybe she will, maybe she won't. But don't try to tick off all the different subjects in 30 quick minutes, because you cannot do it. Show us who Kamala Harris is. That's what the American electorate needs to know. And like I said, Mark Reardon Show, right here on 97.1 FM Talk, Fox News Radio affiliate here in St. Louis. We are going to be able to cover that directly for you this evening. So make sure you keep it locked in on 97.1. The YouTube live chat poll, this is a spillover from our conversations yesterday, which I actually went back and listened to. I never do that with the show. I went back and listened to it because I wanted to kind of listen to the caller that we had, Pastor Paul, who called in the 12 o'clock hour. I wanted to hear what he had to say again, just as a listener. And then also our conversations about it. And there's a lot of discussion right now about Christians and their willingness to show up and vote for Donald Trump or Kamala Harris to cast a vote in this election. There's concern that 30% of Christians are not registered. I don't think that that's new this year, but I think it's just a concern that's being highlighted in this election where every single vote matters. So the question that we discussed a little bit yesterday that I'm excited to bring back on the show today is Donald Trump a Christian? That's our Annie Fry YouTube live chat poll. If you go to the Annie Fry YouTube channel, you'll see on our live broadcast right now in the chat portion, that question is right there on the top. Is Donald Trump a Christian? Yes, no, or it doesn't matter. I'm not sure how this is going to shake out today. I'll be interested to see what you all think. So make sure you weigh in. Leave a comment if you so choose. We'll feature those throughout the course of the show. Bruce Lavelle, Trump's senior campaign surrogate, is going to be on with us when we return. He's the former executive director, the National Diversity Coalition for Trump. We're going to talk to Bruce Lavelle about Barack Obama and his words to black men saying, come on, you afraid to elect a woman? What's Bruce think about it? We'll find out next. Who says I can't get
stoned? Call up the- This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Every one of these initiatives, by the way, Kamala Harris is talking about, mentorship, apprenticeship, these are all buzzwords. These are all buzzwords. You know, I'm 23 years old. Now you want to give me an apprenticeship? You're not even talking about long-term solutions for my children. None of this is for long-term. Oh, health initiative, get the health initiative. You know how they're going to help black people in health? They're going to expand screening, preventative screenings. That's not helping. That's not helping. That's the kind of thing when they tell black people, go out and improve your credit. For what? To be a better consumer? I mean, all of this stuff is ridiculous. This is all the stuff this is in their bag of tricks. But the bags of tricks, it's old, it's got cobwebs on it, and it's left black people wanting and hurting. And
Charles Payne just kind of laid it all out there for Bill Hemmer and Dana Perino. I loved watching that. He kept taking his glasses off. I knew he meant business when he was doing that. Barack Obama went out and admonished some black men, you know, like, come on, you got to step up here. I think there was even an allegation that maybe they weren't okay with voting for a female for president. And, you know, if these voters that happen to be black men see something in Donald Trump that's valuable, Barack Obama thinks you're doing the wrong thing. So we thought, let's talk to Bruce Lavelle about it. He's a Trump senior campaign surrogate. He's a former executive director for National Diversity Coalition for Trump. Bruce, welcome back to the show. It's a pleasure to have you here.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Annie. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Yep, absolutely. Honor is ours. When you heard Barack Obama talking to black men about their vote, what was your reaction to what he had to say to them?
You mean coming out speaking at them and not with them?
Yeah.
And down at them and not as a conversation? I mean, it's what I have said for day one in 07 when this one-hit wonder, Barack Obama, came out of nowhere and ran for president. And I've been saying it for many, many years that we knew that he wasn't going to go in and do anything, you know, even back then, let alone in a second term. And obviously, you've seen the declining support for black men or black people in general in the Democrat Party every election cycle. And of course, you know, obviously, President Trump has made you know, has pretty much set the record in terms of turning out black votes since Lincoln, Nixon, and of course himself in the 16 and 2020 election. And, you know, obviously this election cycle will be historical. It'll be record numbers in black Americans that are supporting the Republican Party, especially President Trump.
So, Bruce Lavelle speaking with us right now. Obama, Biden, Harris, are they getting the electorate wrong? Is Donald Trump getting the electorate right? What's coming together right now to create this shift in how people are willing to cast their votes and even publicly talk about how they're casting their votes?
Well, you know, I think for President Trump, and his credit, you know, I've known him since 1991. We've been friends. I met him in Atlanta. And, you know, he's always been out in the public eye. You know, listen, he's been in the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. You know, he's been on the Bobby Brown video. You know, all the rappers know him. And he's been in, I can't even tell you how many songs he's been included in. So he's been very immersed in all types of culture, entertainment culture, you know, boxing, wrestling. Of course, you know, Hollywood is his apprentice, the apprentice show, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, obviously the left made a, you know, the narrative that he was a racist and all this other junk and created this lie, like the Russian hoax collusion. And, you know, they control 90% of the media outlets, you know, especially social media. And, of course, Jack Dorsey and Zuckerbucks, you know, controlling the algorithms and how the messaging flowed. So, and all, you know, the respect for that happening. You know, the black culture was immersed in the big bad boogeyman. So lo and behold, thank God, there's great shows like the Annie Fry Show and many other podcasts that are out there that can go out and talk about, you know, really free information without it being controlled by the typical big media conglomerates. So, but also more than anything, a complete contrast from, you know, the last, you know, from President Trump's administration. I mean, come on, let's be honest. That 4 years, it was no wars, the first time a sitting president. Number two, the lowest black unemployment since 1972 in my lifetime, and I volunteered for Ronald Reagan in high school, dating myself. And also, you know, going into understanding, watch this one, Annie, this is a key issue right here, is the disparity, meaning the generational wealth gap in black culture, especially in the business community, as well as the ownership of retail commodities. You know, like myself, my wife and I are in Atlanta. We understand that there is a void. He knows it. So that's why, of course, the Opportunity Zones came out to try to figure out a way to energize, or you might use the word revitalize or inspire black culture into building businesses and building back the generational wealth. And the generational wealth, and this is factual, for many, many decades, have come under, quote, failed Democrat policies for many, many generations. So thank God, I actually wrote about this in the Washington Times. I contribute to them sometimes about breaking the generational voting curse. Mm. That's what I call this. So this is what you're seeing. A lot of black Americans, especially black men, is like, listen, I'd like to have a slice of that pie just like everyone else. And President Trump's with low taxes and, of course, the First Step Act, which the number three, when I was going down, that was, you know, let a lot of black men out, especially that had 20, 30 year prison sentences over possessions of marijuana. The very candidate, Kamala Harris, that laughed when she locked up black men
right.
for marijuana, now wants to put it in a plan and pander to us, thinking that all black men smoke weed. So I understand, Charles. I'm glad you did break that out top of your show. Charles and I are good friends. I've been on his show. We have the same sentiment as it relates to the opportunities in black culture. Just be fair and treat us like everyone else. And just get out the way, basically.
Yeah. You know? You know, one thing that he said at the end of, Charles Payne said at the end of his hit there with Bruce or Bill Hemmer and Dana Perino was that he said, when I sit around with my friends, he said, they all are registered Democrats, but if you just listen to the things that they were saying, they all talk Republican. What's the barrier there to translating what they've been told or what they know as far as their voter? You could be registered as a Democrat and still vote Republican from time to time. What's the barrier there that exists, and is it coming down?
Well, I can tell you the major barrier. Watch this. And this is your listeners that they probably don't see this. The worst form of voter suppression and voter intimidation comes from, unfortunately, in black culture, when a black man or black woman chooses to go pull the Republican ballot election cycle. Number two, let alone be vocal about it or just say, hey, I'm going to do something different. The unfortunate part of it is a lot of folks are operate under, you know, being scared, obviously, to come forward because of the persecution, because of the demonization, because of, quote, the cancel culture of someone coming out. I'll give you many examples. That's why, you know, a lot of Republican operatives, especially consultants, you know, who are white, generally ask black business people like myself and many, hey, you know, can you get a business to come do an event, blah, blah. And I said, you know, it sounds easy, but the unfortunate part of it's a different world if you open your doors and invite, you know, a Republican candidate in, what have you. The persecution, the intimidation is so, you know, overwhelmingly that a lot of folks are quiet but just choose not to. That's one of them. And number two is, like I said earlier, is the habit, the generational voting curse. Well, my mom did, my dad did. And the other thing too, respectfully, Annie, when you're culturally in just one particular environment, let's just say you're in a 99% black community, you go to a 99% black church, You go to the 99% school that's Black Americans that attend there. So you're immersed in your culture. So whoever comes to that area, and particularly the Democrat Party, and they'll sow seeds to the big churches in the community, to the pastor's foundation, and says, you know, we've been a great partner with you, and we'd love to have your support. So what happens is that community just, that's pretty much all they know. And so when someone from the other side of the party comes in and just challenges that, then the persecution comes on the pastor of the church, the community. We'll cut this off. We'll do this if you do that. So essentially, it's kind of like you're in prison in a way, in your mind and in your community. And this is not the only culture that goes through it sometimes, unfortunately. Yeah. It happens in white culture, too, where, you know, don't talk at the dinner table. Don't talk in the community because 90% of your family might, who are white, vote Democrat. So I think respectfully, especially for me and my dad's side, we're civil rights pioneers here in Atlanta in the South,
yes,
who fought, my uncle especially, who was with A.D. King, which is my sister Alveda King's dad, who all the whole movement was just to get to the poll to vote. That's all it really was, not without political or any intimidation or persecution. And so now, to this point and to your question, this is where a lot of it stems from, is the how dare you break with our family? How dare you break with our culture of what we are? We've always been this way. What are you doing? So thank God it is breaking more, and people are waking up and becoming independent thinkers and your own, and having your own decision, your own mind, without worrying about being persecuted or canceling your hair salon, which had happened because you allowed a Republican candidate to come in to say hello and do a radio interview in there.
Man.
So it has gotten better. And I understand Charles's passion, because him and I are pretty much the same age. And we've been around this game for, 40 years. So has it gotten better? A little, yes. Do we have a long way to go? Absolutely.
It sounds like we're speaking with Bruce Lavelle right now with the Trump campaign. I feel like what you're saying is this barrier that exists for individuals in the Black community who speak like Republicans, they probably would vote like Republicans, but they're registered Democrats, and that's culturally the way it is a great success for the Democrat Party to have them have that mentality, that barrier has been built successfully by the Democrat Party. I'm curious if you think that it's also hand in hand a failure of the Republican Party for that barrier to be as strong as it has been. And if you see it breaking down more under Trump than you've seen it under other Republicans?
Well, you know, that's a great question, because one thing that historically has frustrated me more, and I'll just say it, when, you know, I was a surrogate for George W. in 99 and 04. And one of the things is that I call it the low hanging fruit for many, many years, is to put the value and the money into those particular environments and go after it instead of just getting by with just enough to win. Now, let me fast forward it to what makes President Trump so profound. And a lot of that has to do with his upbringing. One of the things is his faith that, you know, he doesn't share openly, but I can tell you, your listeners, I know he's a 100% believer, you know, that I can, you know, witness. But one of the things is that he has been immersed in all different cultures, and he understands that. And I mean, come on, I was part of building one of the largest diversity coalitions in the presidential Republican candidate's history in 2016. So I understand, and that was, we had all types of cultures that wanted to come under one tent to support President Trump. I mean, that was his idea. So, you know, to embrace that, to break down the walls and just say, listen, I want it fair for everyone, but I do see the void over in this particular culture for many generations. And then watch this, and if you remember this, look at your roads, look at your schools, look at your community. You've been voting 30, 40, 50, 60 years the same way. What the hell do you have to lose? Remember that quote?
Yes.
That's very direct. And it's, you know, of course, people spun it around and tried to make it racist and all the other typical kick the dead horse stuff that they did in the past, but that's true. And so that base has been challenged. by none other than President Donald John Trump. When other, to your point, Annie, they lacked it. You know, I always like to say that historically, a lot of the Republicans, they pretended like they understood it, but they deep down inside didn't really understand it. And they didn't want to understand it in some capacity. And if we can just get by with, you know, 5% or 3%, we still win. We're happy. No, go after all of it like President Trump did. So this is changing. This is, you know, it's going to be different even the next election cycle. The cool thing about this, Annie, is that he's inspiring a lot of great America First patriots who just want to serve the people. My good friend Byron Donalds, who I speak with regularly, my good friend Burgess Owens up in Utah, Wesley Hunt in Texas, Anna Polina, which is my other congresswoman down here in Florida, doing a great job. And, of course, many other brand new America First patriots that came out and got elected under the Trump era that want to carry that torch to the next generation, whether it be city council. And really, if I could respectfully say this to your audience, you know, if you're listening to this show right now and you're looking around in your community and you see openings in the city council, the commission seat, the state court, superior court, the solicitor's office, you know, and you're a great, watch this, a good steward of the money and you want to be that patriot, please run for that seat.
Amen.
Please. And run for that seat. And then don't stay long and get stale. Don't make it a career. You know, after one or two terms, look at your other friend or your neighbor that's the same, similar qualities, and inspire them to run the same way and let them serve. And then after a couple of terms, don't stay long, don't get stale, as they say in the church. Go sit down sometimes.
Yeah.
And then move it on to the next generation.
Bruce Lavelle with us. If I may, just one last quick question, because I find it to be a very important one. You've laid the groundwork of what has gotten us to here. People remember what it was like to live in Donald Trump, in a Donald Trump administration. We're here in St. Louis, Missouri. We know a lot about historically Democrat blue city, just despair. We're sitting in the middle of it right now. Donald Trump has talked about New York City. Donald Trump has talked about Chicago. Donald Trump has talked about blue cities that are often just completely left out of the conversation when we're talking about Republican presidential candidacies. What will Donald Trump do for diverse areas like St. Louis? What would a Trump presidency do to give these people opportunities that Kamala Harris and the blue policies that have destroyed them won't? Bruce, can you hear me?
Hello, Annie.
Yep. Can you hear me okay?
I'm sorry. We're in a...
That's okay.
We're in a bad zone. I apologize if you can hear me.
Yeah, I can hear... Can you hear me okay? You know, I think we're just going to go ahead and put him on hold. And Ethan, you can just tell him that the connection was bad. We'll reconnect with him because that's a question I really would like to get an answer to him. But we knew that when we booked him that he was going to be traveling. He's going to Florida to help with the hurricane efforts, which is pretty amazing. Glad that he was able to be with us. And when you're traveling, sometimes that's just the case. I love talking to Bruce Lavelle. He's a wonderful, wonderful warrior for the things that are good and right, just not just politics. So Bruce Lavelle with us, Trump senior campaign surrogate, former executive director, National Diversity Coalition for Trump on X at Bruce_Lavelle. Go talk to him. Tell him you appreciated him being on the show if you so choose. And we will connect with him again another time. Let's take a quick break. Ryan Wiggins is back. So what are we going to talk about? He's got some etiquette. He's got some etiquette suggestions for us. And we need this in our life, don't we? Welcome Ryan Wiggins back to the studio next on Wiggins America on the Annie Fry Show.
Wiggins. Oh, Wiggins.
Hi, welcome
hi
back.
There. Hi, hello. I am here to talk about etiquette.
Slacker taking 2 days off.
Yeah, well, you got to have a little fun every now and then. We're coming here, it's just so business.
That's what they keep trying to get us to do.
Yeah. So I have some etiquette here, and it's all about how you talk on the phone.
I don't like to. Well,
this is why, because you got to know the rules before you go into these conversations. Otherwise, you look like a crazy person. and there's the survey, so it's not necessarily a yes or no. It's what do Americans prefer on a variety of subjects concerning talking on the phone. The first one is eating while on the phone.
Oh, Lord have mercy.
Man. No.
Now, I want to see if you guys are among the majority or the minority of all of these questions. Would you be in the majority or the minority on
Is there
eating?
Anybody who thinks that's okay?
There are a certain percentage that think it's fine to eat while
Does
on
anybody
the phone.
In here think that's okay?
I think it depends on who you're talking.
Ethan,
hold on.
Ethan.
I think it depends
Ethan.
On
No, I go ahead.
Who you're talking to and what you're eating. If it is going to be noticeable in any way through the phone that what you're eating
What can you be eating that isn't
mashed
noticeable?
Potatoes job interview.
Gross. See,
yeah,
no?
Okay, no.
Okay.
No.
Just making sure.
No, I mean if I'm talking to like my best friend or a parent and I'm going to like throw in something
Respect
that's not
going to
be
Respect your elders. It's number 4 in the 10 commandments.
Oh, brother.
And Annie, remember when you were in high school and you just talk on the phone for hours about nothing, you just sit there.
Yeah.
What about in one of those conversations? You're just on the phone.
You won't
just
have
to
any
be
friends.
On the phone.
They won't talk to you.
You don't eat for hours? How do you live?
You don't always have those phone
Ryan's
conversations.
Like, how can you not eat for like not 2 hours?
Yeah, I don't get that.
No, Annie's right. Don't eat on the phone.
There's never a time.
I'll have to agree.
When I'm on this microphone, when I swallow, I mute my mic.
Only 12% of Americans say that eating on the phone is okay. So it's a vast majority that say you cannot eat on the phone.
12% would sway an election.
How about speaking loudly in public places?
Oh. No.
No, okay, yeah.
Don't be the loud talker on the airplane. Don't be that person. Bring your voice down. Some people just have a voice that carries.
That's me. I talk loudly. When I'm just having normal conversation.
No, there's a difference between talking loudly and having a permeating voice. Maybe you could be both.
I think it is both. I have both.
But, yeah, nobody else. The person you're talking to in any public place should be the only person who can understand the details of the discussion.
What's way worse, though, is when you're talking loudly, but they're also on speaker.
Oh,
yeah,
God.
That's terrible.
Worse. No.
13% of Americans say that it is okay to speak loudly, which means the vast majority say.
They're probably eating while they're talking.
Not, yeah, they're just eating a sub sandwich, yelling on their phone. Yeah, it's fine. I'll take a survey. Using a speakerphone in a shared environment. You just kind of address this
Don't.
One. Agreed. Don't.
You know, don't do it. But at the same time, I'm also thinking about when my husband goes to the grocery store and I'm back there with the kids and he's trying to figure out like what yogurt I wanted or something. He knows which yogurt now. But if we're talking
that's,
about...
That's a ridiculous example because he already knows. But.
Sometimes we'll FaceTime.
Okay.
And if you're FaceTiming, it's essentially a speakerphone call, but it's not a speakerphone call. But it's the same effect. So maybe I'm guilty of this in a way that I didn't realize that I was.
The majority of Americans, well, only 20%, but a little bit higher. 20% say it is not okay, or it is okay. 20% say it is okay to use a speakerphone in a shared environment. How about shifting the focus from the call to interact with someone else nearby without informing the caller or receiver?
I can't stand when I am on the phone talking to somebody, and if I'm at home and I'm parenting at the same time, the push and pull between like, no, don't climb on that. No, don't do that. No, when I get caught up in that, I will tell the person I'm talking to, can I call you right back? I have to take care of something at home. And then I will, and hopefully they're like, chill with that. And then I say to the person, or I say to my kids, like, XYZ, mommy's on the phone. And then I will go back to have that conversation. Because it is so distracting and disrespectful if the person's just sitting on the other line waiting to be talked to while I'm talking to all these other people in my life.
I hate getting an important call that I've been waiting for. Maybe not like important to my entire life, but something like, oh, I've been waiting to talk to this
timely,
person.
Timely, necessary.
Yeah, something
whatever.
I need to talk to this person. And they call right when I'm about to go up to the drive-thru speaker. So I'm like, both of these things.
How frequently does this happen?
You know, pretty often.
That's where it gets me too.
It gets you too?
Yeah, usually in the drive-thru of scooters.
See?
Like somebody will call as I'm getting ready to order and it's like, oh, hold on.
Yeah. Hang on. Can you just hold on for a second?
The president.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Right. Most people, again, only 22% say it is okay to do that, to shift your focus. How about answering or ending calls without a greeting?
Oh, gosh. I have to teach my children this. My son, he said, he called my father-in-law, his grandpa. And he referred to him, because I'm like trying so hard to be like, you have to have a proper conversation. and he called him Mr. Fry. It's like, that's your grandpa. You just call him Grandpa, but you can say hi, Grandpa. You don't have to switch over to Mr. Fry. So I'm taking it a little too far, I think.
I can't really imagine doing this. I always say hello and okay, see you, bye, whatever. I can't imagine how you.
But they don't
do a phone call without those things.
You grew up making phone calls. They don't. Children don't. I would say even maybe Ethan's age, like I would say Gen Z on the whole, has not grown up having phone conversations because you could always do it in text.
Yeah.
Real quick, how do you answer the phone, though, without saying hello?
Ethan,
what do you do?
Ethan professionally answers phones. He knows what he's doing.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, this is true. I mean, just saying really quickly, just getting into conversation or hanging up the call without saying
anything.
That's the thing more so. Yeah.
All right. We'll be back with Dory Murdoch and Jim Carafano.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.